Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
Tonight's praise and worship is brought to you by Tony Mason. Find out more about his ministry at www.tonymasonmusic1.com. That's www.tonymasonmusic1.com.
All the leaders, give God a great big shout. Come on, it's early in the morning. Tell your neighbor you might as well shout. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to one more brother real quick and just say, man, I'm an ambassador. Tell him, I've been called to represent the King of Kings. I'm not just talking to pastors. I'm talking to all of you. Tell your brother next to you, tell him, I'm talking to you. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. As you all know, I brought some product here with me. Praise God. And I'm going to do a really big special for y'all today. Y'all go by the table afterwards, and we're gonna make that product available at an extremely good price. Slap somebody a high five and say an extremely good price. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Brother, you can go ahead. Song number one. I never knew just who I was, and I never understood my true reason. Why did you bring me here to be? Was it to discover you inside of me? Then suddenly your words, they came breaking through. You said, remember son, it wasn't me who chose you. And then you appointed me to go and represent your name. And I ambassador, and I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I pledge allegiance to your throne. I've made your kingdom my own. Yes, I'm your ambassador. Thank you, Lord. Come on, here's how we receive that call. And now your words will lead me on as I carry out the will of my King. And I will not speak of my own accord, but I speak the will of the one who has appointed me. And I will not be concerned over the things I need. For the King shall supply all these for me. And I will never be ashamed declare in this place today that I am an ambassador, and I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. allegiance to your throne. I make your kingdom my own. For I'm your ambassador. And I will do my best. The Constitution of your government. And Lord, I pledge my life to live for you and proclaim your kingdom. Yes, I'm your ambassador, and I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pledge allegiance to your throne. I've made your kingdom my own, for I'm your ambassador.
Come on, all ambassadors, just lift your hands with me real quick. Come on.
Say, I'm your ambassador.
Come on.
I represent the King of all kings and the Lord of lords. And I pledge allegiance to your throne. I'll make your kingdom my own. Yes, I'm your ambassador. I represent the Most High God. I've been called and appointed to go and represent the kingdom of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to do this real quick. I feel it in my spirit. I want you to stand at attention to salute.
Amen.
And with your heart, towards heaven, let's pledge our allegiance to the kingdom of God. Jesus, we pledge allegiance to your throne this morning. We will follow the dictates. We will follow the commands. We will follow the promises of the kingdom today. And we will walk in kingdom knowledge. We will receive every word of instruction from you this morning, God, over our lives. For we are ambassadors of your kingdom. Can somebody just shout that and give a brother a high five and tell him, I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
First John 1:4. I kept saying to God, you want to move today? What is the move? He said, love. Love. We could talk about power all day long and folk could take it, eat it, and suck it up like a sponge. But it's love that makes the power work. Faith works by love. Faith doesn't work by your faith. All of us need to grow up in God's love. Every now and then the church has got to have a love teacher because it kind of helps get us back on point because we get to thinking it's about us casting out devils. And raising the dead and teaching the deep things and the deep mysteries of Christ. It's about love. And so God today said, that's my word. Jesus said, I have this one commandment that you love one another. Can you believe that? Just love. And then he said, because in love hangs all the law and the prophets. All. the law. Every commandment, every precept, judgment, testimony, edict of God comes from love. We're to speak the truth in love. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. I want you to understand something. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love casts out fear. Love conceals the matter. Love bears another's burden. Love thinks no ill or anger with anyone. Just love. Four-letter word, love. Every problem you face today, every issue that's on your heart today, every issue right now can be eradicated if you released God's love. Sounds too simple, doesn't it? Love makes you forget the past, enjoy the present, and have faith for the future. Because when you love God's people, just like when you love anyone else, nothing, whatever, can make you stumble. See, love doesn't just love folk because it feels good. You know, a lot of times we like to love the people we got good chemical mix with. You know, I like talking to him and talking to her. So we love those people. We don't love the folk that are difficult to talk to, or the people that don't make us feel warm and fuzzy. But see, you need to know the difference between sentiment and love. Now, there are people who arouse your senses because you have maybe kindred souls. But that's not love. And I'll go on record to say to you that if love was easy, it wouldn't be a commandment. About that simple, isn't it? I mean, if it was easy to love folk, God wouldn't have to say, love ye one another, this is love, I command you love. Why would he say it that many times? Because it don't come natural. And it doesn't come natural because love is a supernatural faculty. Hate is the natural course of life. Anger is the natural course of life. Division, natural. It's natural for you to want to stay with your kind and your friends and your peeps. It's natural for you to feel at home with those that you can talk to. But it's supernatural to bridge the gaps. It's supernatural to build the bridge. It's supernatural to forgive. Do you know forgiveness is not natural? Grudges are natural. Y'all with me on this? It is very natural to hold a grudge. It's normal. Your psychologist will tell you it's normal. Your therapist and counselor will say, well, it's normal you feel that way. See, because normalcy and senses go together. So it's very normal for you not to like me just because I don't have the voice you like, or the look you like, or the sound you like, or the words you like. That's normal. But you were born again to escape normal. God redeemed you from normal. God redeemed you from the natural. And he placed you in the heavenly places, high above all principality and power and every name that is named in this world and that which is to come. He placed you high so that you can do the high things of the Creator instead of the low life thing that he had to buy you from. It's very low life to hold a grudge. It's very low life to be angry. It's low life to be unforgiving. But the high call of God is that we are above that. That means you have to look into in a side of you that never has been tapped in before and find your supernatural resources to forgive your mother, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, your boss, the job, the cops, the people, whatever. It is very normal to hate yourself because self-hatred is non-existence. The hatred that you feel for yourself is the hatred of the spirit that's on your family line. So God gave you a new spirit with a new family line. It's normal for your marriage to have problems. It's normal for relationships to struggle. What's super normal is that you know the secret. And the key to a healthy relationship is love in word and in deed. Simple. I know you thought it was going to be deep. You know, I was going to go into the old treasuries of ancient world and all of that. No. Christ is in you to make you supernatural and super normal. That's why he's there. He is not in you for you to keep on doing what you used to do. It is normal for you to blow up and get mad at everybody. It is normal for your feelings to get hurt at the drop of a hat. That's normal. So next time you ask yourself where you are, ask yourself, am I moving in the normal or am I moving in the supernatural? When you rest in normal, you're justified. When you rest in the supernatural, Christ is your justifier. I don't know if this is helping you or not. When you feel justified, that's because you're in the normal. And the world will agree with you. See, when all the worldly folks are saying, yeah, honey, now me too, I'm with you, huh? If I was me, you need to get scared. Because anytime the sinners start patting you on the back, you are in sin. Because the Bible said the world loves its own. So you must be manifesting as its own. When the world loves you, you need to recognize they don't see no Jesus nowhere. Because they don't love Jesus. We can agree, right? They do not love Jesus. They're not looking forward to get Jesus at the dinner table. They don't want him in the bar. They don't want him on the set. They don't want him in the bank. They don't want Jesus in their presence. It is very normal for you to stay stuck in yourself. But the Bible said that by the Holy Spirit in you, you are to put to death your members. You are to mortify yourself. That's the only suicide God approves of. The spiritual slaughter of your old man. That's acceptable. And God says to tell you, I am love. Before I'm anything else in your life, I'm love. And the commandment is that you love one another. And I want to tell you something. It's going to be tried. So you ask yourself, how many love tests have you failed in the past year? Love one another. You can probably grade yourself. This is a self-test, self-grade. How many opportunities did God give you to show his love and to free you from your other stuff? You know you'll never get free if you don't get the love of God down pat. I'm telling you. And in the beginning, it's not comfortable. It's not easy. Are you kidding? I've been this way all my life. I inherited this temper from my mother and my father. After all, I'm Irish. That and 50 Cent says what? Well, you don't understand. My whole family has said the temper just goes on down the line. We can't help ourselves. What's that got to do with anything? I thought you were in the family of God. Well, you don't understand, boy. My family can hold a grudge. Then they ought not to be your family. They may be your kin, but your family is God's. And they can't get out of their stuff as long as you're acting like them. When you become abnormal, supra-normal, when you become supra-normal, people take notice. When you do the ridiculous, ah, help me, Lord. When you become ridiculous in your Christianity, then people take notice. When you have peace, when everybody else is going crazy, do you know a whole room could be screaming and mobbing, but because you at peace, you will command their attention. And the first question is, but how come you're not screaming? Why aren't you scared? Aren't you scared? Because they notice the one that's abnormal. Your family members will notice your abnormal change in relations with them. They'll notice it. They expect you to get mad, upset, pout, cave in, whatever. They expect you to do that. What they don't expect you to do is to be abnormal, to love and be strong. How many of you know love is probably the strongest emotion you have? It's stronger than hate. Love conquers all, covers all, bears all. We got no patience with each other and have less patience with our family. Wonder why they don't want to get saved. They're like, it didn't help you. I mean, do you realize that that's what the sinner thinks? They're like, well, why do I need to get saved and go to your church? It's not helping you. You're not changed at all. You're still cussing like me, acting like me, drinking like me. What's the big deal? They're like, and you're doing all of that in the church and still can't have as much fun as I'm having. At least my God let me go and do all other stuff. I don't need to change God's. Yours ain't changed you. We know it, but let's go there anyhow. I'm going to do this backwards. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You cannot begin to believe in love until your faith is awakened. Faith guarantees you hope in what you've begun to believe in, but love assures that you get it. Love assures that you get it because faith works by love. The gifts work by love. The more you love people, the more your anointing will rise. The more you're willing to give yourself to people, the more your power in God will grow. The more you're willing to die to yourself, that others may live to Christ. Oh, what a statement. Because that's what it requires. You die to yourself so that people will live to Christ. Why? Because the minute you die, Christ is alive. Being yourself is normal. Being Jesus Christ is supernormal. It's easy to be yourself. It takes no work whatsoever. That's just the way I am. Did I hurt your feelings? Well, I'm sorry. That's the way I am. How often have you said that? Well, I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. Well, no, I don't play nobody touching my stuff because that's the way I am. Well, no, I'm not going to give you my last because that's the way I am. Oh, how I love Jesus. Boy, I just can't stand you. Stunning, isn't it? Well, somebody had to fill in the blanks. Because folk here, you talking about you love Jesus, treating them bad. They can't figure out what the problem is. God said, love conquers all. Now, I like God. God is, he got this thing going. He says, you know, I like verse 11. When you grow up in God, the more you grow, the more you love. The less you grow, the less you love. 11th verse. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You all are still running around with your childish testimony. Y'all ain't never going to grow up. As a matter of fact, what do we have a great time? Girl, when I was a kid, boy, I used to take a knife and slice people, and I used to, and I used to, and I used to. Is that right? Isn't that what we do? We want to get up there, and we can't ever, God ain't done nothing for us since the day we got saved, but we can tell you about when we were 16 years old, how we stomped this, killed that, destroyed the other, flayed something else. We got them testimonies down pat, have yet to get the testimony of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's why? Because when you're in the flesh, that's what you glorify. Whatever spirit you're walking in, that's the spirit that's glorified. You don't understand. When I was a kid, my mother beat me so bad. I mean, I can't forgive her today because you're still a child. Well, somebody got to say it. Because if you all don't hear it, you can't get free. How can they hear unless there's a preacher? How can they believe unless they hear? I'm the preacher. Hear. Believe. Get free. Oh, okay. Do you ever notice children do strange things? You can tell a person bound by a childish spirit. They act like children. They do. Children are rude. Aren't they? How many of y'all got at least more than two kids up in here? All right, you ever seen how rude those two kids are to each other? Children are rude. They will talk about each other. You ugly. You stupid. Children are selfish, won't share anything. Give me my, and you know what else children do? They will give and take back. And that children? One day I hear, Joey, you can have my toy the next hour. Give me my toy. They ain't fighting. Children are rude. I'm giving you some real pointers. Children are always mad. They always mad. They happy, mad, sad. Happy, mad, sad. Happy, mad, sad. Happy, mad, sad. Sounds like a church. Happy, mad, sad. Isn't that children? And children are always fighting. And you ask them what they were fighting about, they say, I don't know. A kid doesn't even mind telling you that he's insane. I don't know why I was fighting. Why'd you hit your brother? I don't know. But you blacked his eye. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not my fault his eye blacked. Kids never take responsibility. Children never take responsibility. It's always somebody else's fault. Isn't it, young one? Excuse me. Because you wonder why God says that you're an immature Christian. That's what he's talking about. Oh, Children are always quitting when the going gets rough. They tired. My back hurt. My head hurt. I had to. I'm too weak. I got no muscles. That's children. Anybody you know? All right? Children can't keep a secret. I know a secret. I'm not going to tell you. I know. Ask me. I'll tell you. I told Lawrence I'm not going to tell, but I'll tell you. Children. I'm talking about love. Children have to grow in love. You have to teach children in love. Children cannot distinguish the truth from a lie. That's why they can have imaginary friends. Who did that? I don't know. Did you do that? Uh-uh, not me. Well, who did it? BB. Who's BB? Over there. What's over there? My friend. What do you look like? You can't see. He do everything. My eye don't do nothing. Children lie. The Bible says as soon as they leave the womb, they speak lies. Psalm 58. I'm trying to help you understand why you stuck in your love wall, because you probably don't understand. Children can't distinguish what is truth and what is not, and they can't figure out what to believe. That is why they are always victims of make-believe. Fantasies. Children are reared in America on fantasy. And then when they get to some magical age, they're supposed to outgrow it. So children are always dealing in the imaginary. That's childish. Can we go here? See, because I want you to be able to check yourself. Is the little kid talking and walking, or is it you? Children are stingy, can't share, won't give. It's mine. They're destructive. They like to tear up things. You ever have all your children sitting around quiet for like 3 minutes? That 3 minutes of quiet kills them. They have to tear up something. They got to start something. Because the quiet, it wipes them out. Children. They hate discipline. Did you do your homework? Uh-huh. Let me see it. Okay, give you a piece of paper, 1.5 lines on it. What was your homework? I forgot. Children. What did the teacher say to you? I don't know. Well, were you there? Uh-huh. Well, where were you? I had to go to the bathroom. What did you ask the friend? Nobody heard her. And that children? Because the children, one person, two people, equal the world. Children are always into everybody said, nobody did. Everything is all inclusive because they have no discernment to discriminate. So we're trying to tell you as children to walk in love, and you can't even figure out why you can't walk in love. And I'm like, go and kill the little kid. Or at least let the little kid go where they belong. What's holding you back, according to the word of the eternal God, is childishness. Because the minute you grow up, the stuff that used to bother won't bother you. When you remember going back to the school was huge, and you hated the bathroom that was dreary and scared you after death. You go back now, you're like, man, I can't even believe I was scared to go to the bathroom. Wrecked your bladder. To a kid, everything is over-magnified. Everything is large because they're small. So when they deal with situations, it's over-magnified. You have to kind of bring it back down to, now, baby, tell mommy the truth. My honest, I want to be honest. It was like, man, a million feet big. Can you bring it? Can you carry? Wow, I'm strong. Well, go get it, baby. All right. Here. Baby, that's not a billion, nothing. But to kids, everything is out of their range, out of their control. It's oversized for them. Life is oversized. That's why you can't get free. Do you know if you've got addictions, you can't get free because it's the kid that got addicted? You probably didn't know that. I don't care what your addictions is. I don't care what they are. You could be addicted to cigarettes, smoking, cussing, fornication, violence, pornography. The kid is fantasizing.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
Now, since you haven't grown up to become an adult in maturity in Christ, the kid keeps demanding. The minute the kid that needed that is eliminated, you don't have that problem anymore. I don't care if it's gambling, whatever. You know, gamblers, they not necessarily enjoy the whole mechanics of the game. That's not it. It's the pursuit of something for nothing. Something big for little effort. And that's a kid. When you begin to become bigger than the thing that you dreamed, then you're free. Is this helping anybody? See, many times, they take and give you 45 years of therapy just for you to help remember the day that you adopted a hostile behavior, a negative behavior, a destructive pattern to protect yourself. And it's always linked to self-protection. Always. And it's always imaginary. Now, as soon as you get past that, and you begin to forgive the folk who caused it, love becomes possible. But you cannot love as long as you are locked in the little kid zone. You just can't. You could read it all day long. And if you don't believe me, talk to the people who struggle with love, and they're going to take you all the way back down the path. Every time you talk to them. Well, why can't you? Don't you know what about? I try to love. Well, why can't you love? Well, see, I was thinking about that, and it just goes all the way back to. Wow. It's always going back to something. Because love is forward. And everything else is back. Well, I just remember the time when my sister and brother, and we were at the table, and my mother, and I remember my father, and then my Uncle Joe and Aunt Pete, or whatever. Well, her name could be Pete. In today's time, that's not good. Something wrong with Auntie Pete, huh? All right, we're going to have to call her Petra. I want you to hear me, because you keep trying to love from a theological motive, and you cannot do it. You're going to have to love from the new creation. And you are going to have to draw on resources you have probably not tapped into a lot to succeed. But understand, God says the reason you don't love is fear. And the reason you fear is because of something that happened. And that fear stops saying its name is fear, and it begins to call itself fantasy or defense. Marriages break up all the time for fantasy, because you imagine what your husband and your wife was going to be like, and you married something else that didn't fit the fantasy. And then after you married that poor person, from the time y'all went, I got off the honeymoon, if that long, you have been at work to change them into your fantasy. And every time they disobey your fantasy, you punish them. And you punish them because your job is to beat them into submission. So when you're trying to fix the marriage, you got to go back in the marriage to why'd you marry this person? But and you will always know it. Here's a good one. You'll love it. This is free. Why'd you marry? Because I thought they were. Because I thought. You always thought something else. Because you was thinking your fantasy and marrying reality. So now you have got to go back and realize it's your deception that got you here. They were who they were all along. And instead of you trying to build a life with that, you've been trying to make a life with what you envisioned in your room at home all alone. With your toy. Fantasy. Fantasy. Imagination. Vain imagination. You look in America, and I don't care whether they're black, white, or Asian, everybody going blonde. We went to England, remember England? Everybody in England look alike. The young, the old, doesn't matter. Fantasy. Why? Because reality requires maturity, and Satan can't seduce a mature person. See, a mature person cannot be seduced. You ever notice that? When you have outgrown something, they can try to put it to you on the sofa. You don't want it. I'm through. I'm finished with that. How many times have you said about something, I'm finished with that era of my life? I'm done with that. Well, God would like you to get done with a few more eras in your life. I want to finish up this. Jesus gave us in Matthew 6, don't turn there. He gave us a whole list of things to do. If somebody asks you for one thing, give them two. And I call it the list of the go above and beyond for the sake of love. But he used as his premise, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. When you're moving into that level of perfection, your normal extremism for destruction is turned to the glory of God. Because it's in us to be extreme. You know that, right? But God has said, be extreme for me, instead of extremely offensive to me. Paul wrote, love suffers long, or long suffering. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I have not even gotten that one down pat. I could suffer, or I can go a long time without it. But long and suffering in the same sentence, I'm working on it though. But love suffers long. That means that old three strikes you out rule don't work. Okay, life's not a baseball game. They hurt me three times, it's over. Do you know people are divorced because they can't suffer long? First of all, you make a bad decision, then you don't want to stay in there long enough to fix it. Love is kind. I've never seen so much unkindness in the house of God. Rude folk, just mean-spirited saints. Mean-spirited. Hit a nerve, did we? Boy, that's a nerve, sister. You're going to have to need some deliverance in about a minute. But we don't even understand kindness anymore. Well, you do, don't ask me. That's not me. I don't do that sort of thing. Therapists train you in being unkind. You know, that's a new move today. Just speak your mind. Say what you feel. And listen, if you can't do it, just say no. But in 15 years, boy, nobody's going to be around to help anybody do anything. Love does not envy. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. If we don't preach nothing else, love does not envy. Oh, Jesus. Our entire social, economic, political, and business system is based on envy. I mean, if you can get past, now I'm not trying, if you can get past long suffering and kindness and envy, you might be free. It could happen. Envy, wanting something that doesn't belong to you because you think you ought to have it, begrudging the one who's got it. It's no present company excluded. The other church. You know, one of my leaders told me I can't say other church any longer because he thinks y'all be sending this stuff to the other church and not taking of it yourself. But they will remain nameless to keep them blameless. Love does not parade itself. That means that show-off spirit, that peacock strut, that got to be front and center. You really see it when you see people who are like singing. You can always tell where the problem with the love is. That's a voice that just outshines everybody off. Great example. Off. All right? It's not puffed up. Me, myself, and I, and aren't I the greatest thing? And you ought to be glad I condescend to talk to you. And in a minute, I'm going back on up on Mount Olympus to let you know I am above you. Love does not behave rudely. Oh, Lord, in the church. You ever been to some of these Christian councils, conferences and carrying on? There we go again, sis. We go. Another nerve, huh? I mean, they will cuss you out for a seat. Cuss you out. With the Holy, and then after it's all over, after they cuss you out, call you an S and an M and a P, Q, R, Z, and everything in between, then they turn around and say, I love you, Jesus. I'm like, them not tongues. I know them not tongues. Them lying tongues, I know it. Them devil tongues. Because you just sounded like the devil. Them not real tongues. And after they finish, could be laid out, slain on the floor, in the spirit. Get up and treat you like you garbage. Like, that ain't love. Ain't no love in that. Hallelujah. Now listen, love does not seek its own. That's selfishness, just in case y'all don't understand it in today's vernacular. Is not provoked, quick-tempered. You made me mad. You always make me mad. You made me do this. You made me hurt you. You made me. You made me. You made me. Thinks no evil. Everybody is wrong and you're right. You're the only perfect creature. Does not rejoice in iniquity. That means having to see evil, ugly, mean, cruel stuff in order to feel good. Like a lot of the evil entertainment. But rejoices in the truth. Got to hear the truth. Now, here's another one. If you got past envy, you're going to fall on this one. Because everybody loves a good, juicy piece of gossip. Everybody loves half the story. And we certainly love to hear a little something about somebody else. Juicy stuff. But rejoice in the truth. I want the truth. Most of the Christians cannot spell truth. There's their side, your side, and no side. But truth means whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, God is truth. So Lord, lead me to the truth. That's a hard one. So if you get past envy, you certainly gonna stumble on truth. Bears all things. That is long. That's like, you know, I know I should be mad, and I know you get on my nerves, but I'm gonna be there for you. Believes all things. I have faith in you. I have confidence in you. I believe God is with you, and I know that you can make it happen. I know you can work it out. I'm going to pray for you. Something. Not, you know what, you've been a mess up. Most parents won't make this one because parents do not believe in their kids. That's why they're always bossing them around, trying to tell them what to do and letting them know they're stupid if they think on their own. Your kids need you to believe in them. They need you to believe in them enough so that even if they're making a mess of their life, they got a right to make it. That's what life is about. Now, they don't have a right to demand you to clean it. That's a whole other right. See, because I'm like, if you that big and bad, loose me. But they have a right, and they have a right to know that you believe in them enough to fix it. And they will. I've not seen it fail yet. As long as they know you believe in them and they don't walk out the door and you say, you're the stupidest thing I ever gave life to. You know, that'll break a kid's heart. You've got to believe in people. As a pastor, I've got to believe in you. You don't want to think that I don't believe in you anymore. That'll hurt you. You need to know, I believe you're going to come through. I believe you're going to come out. I believe God is doing a great work in you. I believe we're all going to glory together. You need to know that. Some people do stress that part of the ministry, but hallelujah. Love hopes all things and endures all things. Love never fails. Now, that means that you don't get so mad with God that you give up hope. When you lose hope in God, it's because you've fallen out of love with Him. You cease to expect God to honor His word. You cease to expect God to fulfill His promise. You cease to have confidence in His ability to not come short of His word. All these hopeless saints are loveless saints. Because when you're still in love with something, love keeps reviving hope. You ever know you'd be so mad at somebody? I'm just mad. I'm just mad with you. I mean, how many of y'all been mad over 15 years? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Baby, I'm just mad. I never again. Okay. All right, well, one more time. You know, because nothing to teach you those three words better than marriage. One more time. One more. You ever notice that it's always one more time, even if it's the 67th time? It's still one more time. Why? Because you're eliminating everything that happened before that in love. And you're putting your hope in what's before you. Isn't that tremendous? That's the only way you stay married. You got to eliminate all that other stuff. Well, that's how God stays married to us. He keeps eliminating it. One more time. Whew, that was good all by itself, wasn't it? Love endures all. How dare you embarrass me? How dare you shame me? How dare you not be there for me? How dare you leave this on me to do? How dare you? Mm-mm. Love endures all. Now, you think about all the stuff God endures with us? See, everybody in here know that you done put too much weight on the Lord. Listen to you. You know, you done weighed down the Lord. That's pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, it's bad. You done weighed down the Lord. Now, that's just too much weight. But love endures all things. Why? That means it stands up to all stress and tests. And it keeps going after its objective to not let its love fail. As you grow up in God, I want you to get this because it's not just about the church, this congregation. It's about your family members. It's about your friends and old relationships. It's about your workplace. God expects you to have a 7-day love fest, 24-hour-a-day. Not I love you on Sunday, don't call me on Monday. He expects you to want to be the solution to the world's pain. And the only way you can do that is to love until it hurts. Give God a praise. Yeah.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.